Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Spurs Show is backed for the season by Ladbrokes.
Listeners across the world, and welcome to the Spurs Show. Andy Davis here, filling in as host and proving that, very much like the club we all adore, the Spurs Show have no big names in reserve. Lots to talk about this week. The stadium is finally officially open and we didn't mess it up. Huddersfield coming up on Saturday. We will look at our top four hopes. And of course, the big one, the Champions League is back, and we will look ahead to our massive semi-final clash with Juventus, as let's face it, Man City is going to be a walk in the park. Joining me today, we've got Football Manager's Kieran Brennan. Hello, Kieran.
Hello, Andy.
How are you?
Oh, happy to be here.
You look happy. You look delighted to be here, Kieran.
Oh, I don't get invited very many places.
Well, so. Well, this is nothing to do with me, but you're here anyway. We've also got Premier League TV stats guy, Johnny Blaine.
Hello.
Bringing the stats today, Johnny.
Hello. First appearance of the season, one more than Vincent Janssen.
So nice.
Happy with that.
Nice.
Happy with that.
And you look in better shape than Vincent
Janssen. It's tight.
Well.
It's tight, but yeah, I'll take that.
And also writer and producer Simon Mayhew Archer. Hi, Simon.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's... The pleasure is all the Spurs Show podcasts. Let's kick off, gents, with the events of last week. The stadium is finally officially open. We had the test events, but it's upon us. Who thought we were going to screw this up? Kieran.
I'm not sure I thought. I didn't think we were. I feared we were. So the first hour sat there. Fingers crossed, come please, 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 please. And then just when the goal finally did go in, didn't matter that it was a massive fluke still.
Well, they were both odd goals. I mean, it was a huge... I convinced myself that we were going to... I hate using the term Spurs this up, but yeah. It would have been classic. Everything was aligned for us to screw this up. Yeah. We would have dropped out of the top four as soon as we got a new stadium. It would have all been horribly wrong. But we didn't. Was there a huge... I mean, you were there, Johnny. Was there a huge sense of relief?
Yeah, I think it was. I wouldn't say flat's the wrong word, but I think once the second half started and we hadn't scored, I think people were getting a little bit nervous. I was worried before the game because everyone kept going on about Palace's away record and this and that. They were shit. They did not turn up. And I think it was the perfect game for us in the end. Just a comfortable 2-0 win, and laid to rest any fears that people were saying, oh, we shouldn't move and all this sort of, should have stayed at Wembley, which I disagreed with. It was nice just to get a comfortable 2-0 win and tick it off.
Yeah, I mean, you say Palace didn't turn up, but it's part of that that the stadium did lift the team.
Yeah, we played well, and I think it was their captain, I think it might have been Tompkins. We made him stand out there for 10 minutes during that opening ceremony, and he said they were really pissed off about that, and it unsettled them, and they didn't want to do it. And I think the whole thing was got on top of them, and maybe it was too much for them, but we did play well, and you know, as I say, we ticked it off, which was important.
And so we've turned, Simon, we've turned the corner now. Because that was off the back of a horrid run.
Yeah, well, now? I think that result was testament to Pochettino and his desire to sort of change the mentality of the team, but also of each and every one of us. Because I'm like you, I went into it fully expecting a 1-0 home defeat. You know, Townsend up after 79 minutes, and you just have to avoid all things football for the next week. But we actually don't really do that anymore. We have control, like we play a very controlled game, and it's sort of weird watching it because I now generally feel confident that a goal will come. And yeah, when we, you know, hopefully we'll smash Huddersfield next week and we really will have turned the corner.
Well, we'll more about that later. But you're right. There is the sort of panic among the side is gone now, and we feel because the really good teams do score late on, and we've become a team that is able to hold its nerve until towards the end of the game. One of the interesting things that came out of that, though, that I want to discuss, and will be a bit more of a talking about. The game was a good game. The stadium is wonderful. I think people have spoken about the stadium ad nauseum. We know it's nice. We know the beer's cheap-ish. And we know it still takes 4.5 hours to get home, irrespective. A friend of mine actually gave me a really good tip, my painter and decorator, who doesn't listen to this, but if you are listening, Dave from the Brown Eagle, he drinks to the Brown Eagle, he's done some decorating for me. He's a nice guy. He's such a big Spurs fan, he's got a dog called Ledley.
Nice.
A little Springer Spaniel called Ledley. I'm not going to talk any more about Dave. But he was doing some painting in my house last week, and his tip is for all the Spurs fans out there, is go to Silver Street. Apparently, if you walk to Silver Street, it's quicker to get anywhere from Silver Street Station than so it's not just football.
Well, that's ruined that then.
That's fine. Well, they're all going to go to Silver Street, and we can sneak in somewhere else. Don't worry about it. We'll just walk to Seven Sisters like we always did. The thing that happened after the game was once again we got Poch doing this. I mean, it wasn't a particularly cryptic clarion call, was it? It's talking about we're going to have to think like a big club. What was he talking about, Kieran?
You're trying to suggest that maybe he was saying we should spend like a big club.
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, we have to spend now. I'm not a big advocate of spending for spending's sake, but that squad now looks thin and tired to make both of those things. And I think come this summer, there needs to be some serious movement, probably in and out.
In and out.
Yeah.
I think Poch is a bit fussy, though. I know a lot of people... I think people point... I'm not going to sit here and slag everyone off, but I think Levy should have spent some money in the past, but I also think Poch wants something really specific and it may not always be out there.
Yeah, well, there's been rumours of him turning down players, but...
I know football transfers are not that simple, but they may be so on Football Manager. I don't know.
Even on Football Manager, right. They're not easy.
But for me, and I've said this to my mates ad nauseum, and they're getting fed up with me saying it, when we sold Dembele, why we didn't get Tielemans on loan? He went to Leicester with the greatest respect to Leicester. He was literally the perfect replacement, just like a 20-something-year-old Moussa Dembele. I don't get it.
But is it that Poch didn't want him on loan? Didn't want him and wanted
why
to see...
Why wouldn't you take him for 6 months when we had a massive hole in our midfield?
But then Poch would argue that he's got players that already know the system that he's going to, you know, Skip, for example.
That's the reason why we should have got him. Yeah. But Winks gets injured and we're one player, we've got no real ball player in there anymore. He's back now and he made a difference even when he came on against Palace, but I was stunned. As I say, it's not that easy. You can't just go and get a player, but I assume he would have come to Tottenham over
there. There are areas where we're clearly needing... We didn't replace Dembele, although you could argue he's irreplaceable. I've never seen a footballer like him, but... We need somebody in that position.
Yeah.
And fullbacks, I think, our fullbacks, we used to have the two best fullbacks in the league a couple of seasons back. One of them's left and the other one just isn't the man he used to be. So.
But the interesting thing with the transfer, because, you know, during the January window, you know, I'm there refreshing Twitter looking for like, you know, are we going to sign anyone? And you get, particularly, there's sort of Barcelona seem to have an entire second squad of out-of-favour players. I definitely, if you'd have given me the option to take Denis Suarez on loan, I would have gone, yeah, do it. Having seen Denis Suarez play like 10 minutes for Arsenal, you go, I'm really glad we didn't waste any money on him because he doesn't look up to it. And that's the thing, is you almost don't know until... That's why I'd be interested to see if we go for Andre Gomes next season, because he's looked good for Everton.
You know, well, you need,
the Premier League... I never used to buy into the whole, well, Premier League's, you know, much harder than everywhere else, but I think there is something to be said for just the sheer physicality of it. And Suarez is an example. He just can't cut it.
Well, is there an argument to say that there are certain players out there, like Andre Gomes, you could also... Sort of James Maddison at Leicester as well, mm-hmm. that are looking at the likes of Everton and Leicester as stepping stone clubs, and rather than Spurs go in there when we know that what Levy wants is value in the transfer market, because there isn't a huge amount of money to spend around, we can't now go and knock out 150 million on four players and two of them might come good. It's like we're kind of letting other teams try these players for us, and it might mean that we have to spend a little bit more money.
But that's
to
the thing. Get them. How much more money? I don't know if we're going to spend the like 50 million that it takes to get James Maddison out of Leicester now.
But we're going to get some money from Christian Eriksen, because that's pretty much a done. He's on his way.
He looks like he's checked out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The last few games, he doesn't look like his heart's in it.
I think we need to go back to young. We look a little bit older, a little bit, you said it, a little bit more tired.
Yeah.
I think we just need to go back to young, English, British, whatever, hungry footballers.
There's a lot of them knocking around in the AFL at the moment. There's a lot of really good players. Yeah.
What's Jared Bowen like? I asked a Hull fan about him the other day.
I don't think he's quick enough from what I've seen.
He looks chunky.
Yeah.
But there's people like Grealish. There's a couple of lads at Norwich that look shit hot.
Yeah. I think if Villa don't go up, Duke Grealish will come. But I think Villa...
He looks Spurs, doesn't he?
He does look Spurs, but he also loves Villa. I think if Villa come up, he'll stay. Because also their financial situation would have been...
We could promise him that none of our fans would attack him.
This is true.
Yeah, what about the Arsenal fans?
We probably couldn't promise him that.
He's probably got too many... If he comes to Spurs, there's too many derbies for him to go.
Sessegnon might be... Yeah. Together now. Yeah.
There's a good example. There's a player who tore it up in the Championship and comes up to the Premier League and didn't make a mark at all.
Didn't play him though, did they? Really, not how he was supposed to be played anyway.
But anyway, that's so. If we're going to sign one player, who are you going to want us to sign? If we could have anybody out there that's available to us, who are you going to go for?
Well, I'm going to nick Johnny's suggestion and go for Tielemans.
Tielemans,
yeah.
Or if he's having Tielemans, I'd take Maddison. I think he's a good player.
I'd join you on Maddison.
So basically just ripping Leicester apart. Yeah.
I'd like I'd like one of those beastie midfielders that I haven't heard of yet.
Well, that's us being nicely top six, arrogant, thinking we're just going to pluck a couple of players from Leicester City.
I like how you said top six and not top six. Four.
Well, look, it would be too arrogant for me to say top four, but let's face it, top three club, Tottenham Hotspur, that's who we are. Now, the league is a competition that we've done fairly well in over the last few seasons. Would that be fair to say?
I think,
we've
been punched above our weight.
Top six, punching above our weight. Yeah. But Kieran, you've got a bugbear.
I have, the FA Cup.
A competition we are not punching above
jealous our weight. Jealous this weekend, I was. Jealous of, not of Man City fans, but I'm jealous of Brighton fans, Wolves fans and Watford fans. They're all experienced FA Cup semi-finals. Now, we've experienced quite a few FA Cup semi-finals. Wolves are now going to be, I just did the math before I came in, sorry, I said Wolves again, Watford are going to be the 21st club to appear in an FA Cup final since we were last in there. 21 clubs. Now, okay, Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, you'd expect all of those, but looking at the list, Portsmouth have been there twice, Villa have been there twice, Wigan, Hull, Cardiff, Millwall. It's ridiculous that things have been in the Cup final since we've been there. I mean, it's just, come on, let's get back in the FA Cup again. When we won it in 91, we became the joint leading winners of the trophy with Manchester United. Is that right?
Yeah.
And now we're miles fifth behind. Or sixth or something. Yeah, it's just crazy.
The problem being, though, that if we now get to an FA Cup semi-final or final, we've got to go back to Wembley again. And none of us want that.
I went back on Thursday for something.
What, for old times sake? Did you miss it that much?
Yeah, I was like, fucking hell, I'm back again. I thought I'd got rid of this.
Yeah. I mean, remember the Leicester game last season, a 5-4 victory, and we were all so happy that we were not going to be coming back to Wembley. And then...
When you go to Spurs now, and you look at it, and you think, this was never going to be ready for September. When he said it was going to be ready for that Liverpool game in September, how? Hmm. You see the pictures, and you see what it is now.
But that was surely, I mean, that was, let's not be cynical, but let's be cynical. That was just to sell the season tickets, wasn't
it? Possibly.
That was to get them.
I do remember looking at a lot of the pictures and thinking, because I'm doing some building work to my own house at the moment. And I remember thinking,
do you need a paint and decorate?
Seriously.
And one who knows his way around the rail system as well.
It's a tip, he's decent. Go to the Brown Eagle, opposite the ground, sitting in
the
leather seats in the windows. Right. A fella called Dave, he's a good lad.
I'll go and find him. Yeah. But I did look at the photos and I thought, wow, they must do a lot of work in the last like 2 weeks, because this does not look anywhere near ready. Mm. And then, of course, it wasn't ready.
No. It wasn't anywhere near ready.
No.
It was, but it's here now and it's worth it. So so back to the FA Cup. What's the answer? Because we, at the moment, our squad, we've got a manager that wants to prioritise the, you know, wants to think like a big club,
yeah,
and prioritise the league and the Champions League. We're punching well above our weight in both those competitions. A fixture pile-up, I mean, with this squad at the moment, if we'd had an FA Cup semi-final this weekend, we'd probably be bemoaning that, thinking, oh, God, it's another fixture we don't need. We could do with a week off before playing Manchester City.
Well, also, we would have lost to either Watford or Wolves.
Yeah.
We would have lost to
Watford. Yeah, that's what we
Brighton,
do.
Brighton, God forbid, as well.
We lose semi-finals.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. Maybe, Kieran, maybe. The FA Cup's just no longer for us.
Well, I want that to change. I'd give up a run in the Champions League for a win in the FA Cup.
Would you?
Yeah. What, not for a run in the FA Cup, for winning the FA Cup.
For winning the FA Cup. So, but a run in the Champions League, you'd eschew the knockout stages and say, well, let's...
It's in, you'd finish fifth and win the FA Cup.
That does us
so
no
loaded,
favours. No, that does us no favours.
No.
So I
the problem with finishing fifth is that probably means Arsenal finishing the top four, and I don't want that. So just it's a minefield.
The trophy I want is the League Cup, because you get it out of the way early.
Yeah,
it's early in the season. You can win it. You can walk around with it. It's got three handles, so it's a bit weird.
Yeah, good.
And then you can, you know, the what has he won comment that Poch always gets is that he's won the League Cup for now, and then we can, you know, we could at least have that winning.
Also,
winning feeling.
The list of, you know, teams you read out, that's the other side of the coin, isn't it? Because the fact that Millwall have got to an FA Cup final tells you what a tinpot sort of pony waste of time it is.
Yeah, possibly. They didn't even win the FA Cup, did they? They just got to the final, yeah.
I mean, look at these teams. Look at these teams. Where are Wigan now? Where are Sunderland now? Where are Manchester City now?
Yeah. Where are Chelsea, Manchester,
where are Liverpool
Arsenal,
now?
Liverpool,
these two big clubs. Yeah. I mean, there's an argument for both sides, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it's the size of the club or the ambition of the club. At the moment, you can understand why the League Cup and the FA Cup play second and third fiddle in...
When we got knocked out of the Cup by Palace, I understood why he chose, because he put quite a weak team out. Skip played, to bring his name up again. And when we got knocked out, I thought, well, fair enough. But then when I saw the draw and who was left in it, I was thinking, shit, if we just made that little bit of effort.
Could have won it. We could have done it. But we're gonna have a short break now, and then we're going to return and discuss Champions League. So back in a mo.
The Spurs Show is backed for the season by Ladbrokes.
And we're back, everyone. Welcome back. Just a little bit of admin before we move on into part two. The Spurs Show season ticket, they're still available. It's worth joining us at the Spurs Show. In the Spurs Show family, you can join now at season.spursshow.net for just £10 a month. And you get two tickets for each monthly event, the Spurs Show live events they happen every month. The next show is on April the 30th, Champions League semi-final permitting, and that will be with Phil Beale. So let's face it, we all hope that gets cancelled. And then we also have the end of season spectacular. Well, we do, don't we? We're at the end of season spectacular.
Even
Hunter
Phil
Club.
Hopes that.
Yeah, exactly. Even Phil hopes it as well. On May the 14th, the end of season show at the 100 Club. Look out for that. Special guests, very special guests to be announced. Also, this season, we've teamed up with Ladbrokes, and we'll be bringing you plenty of specials. So go to bet.spurshow for all of your specials there. You can also download the Ladbrokes app and play 1-2-3 a free game where you have to predict three correct Premier League scores. Get all three right and win £100. Get just one right and get a free £2 bet and two correct for a free £5 bet. Terms and conditions apply. And also, for additional premium Spurs show content, including a daily Spurs news show, match reports, interviews with ex-players and much more, sign up at patreon.com/Spurs show. Do that. It's good. There's lots of really good content on there coming up, available actually at the moment. We've got revealing interviews with Don McAllister, Ian Walker, Jimmy Holmes, John Duncan, Mike Varney, who used to live next door to my auntie Pam. he did. Colin Lee, Eric Torstvedt, John Duncan, Alfie Conn, and Pat Vandenhoude. Plus a series on every Spurs manager and new material being added weekly. Why not try it for a month? Do it. It's worth it. Right. Gentlemen, the big one. We're recording this on a Monday, so it's tomorrow night. Manchester City. We've got them three times coming up over the next couple of weeks. Surely in 270 minutes of football, some of that is going to be ours. Who is gonna make a bold prediction on this one? Do we stand a chance here? Do we stand a chance?
Do you want me to?
I want you to tell us how we're going to get past Manchester.
How boldly do you want me to say Man City are going to win?
People, be bold, Simon.
I just can't see it happening. Just think they're too good. Partly because they're financially doping, and
partly because of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, but Guardiola is an amazing coach.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have him without the money. So, all about the money.
That's totally true. Yeah. I actually find they make me hate football. I find them totally boring and dull. But they will beat us.
Yeah, it's exactly the same as Chelsea. Everything they achieve, in inverted commas, is utterly worthless. But unfortunately, they're between us and the semi-final of the Champions League.
Do you remember when they were, in inverted commas, a proper club?
Yeah.
And we used to beat them all the time.
Yeah.
City would just 6 points.
We had the Indian sign over them. Yep.
Yeah. I think we can. They keep scoring early, Man City, and they will come and fly at us. And if we can be solid, I reckon we can beat them at home. And I'm a pessimist, by the way. I reckon we can beat them at home, but I'm not convinced we'll knock them out.
I mean, Kevin De Bruyne was saying that, they don't care. Man City don't care about the stadium. They don't care about the new atmosphere, the new stadium and the atmosphere. It's going to...
Yeah, but we do, so that helps.
Well, this is the thing. Do you think that we care and that the atmosphere at the stadium might lift our team and give us the extra sort of 5-10% that we need to come out of traps against them?
I hated Wembley, but actually 80,000 in the Champions League nights were actually decent. The Barcelona, Real Madrid, Dortmund.
Yeah.
Kind of helped. I think the good atmospheres at Wembley were a positive, but it'll be nothing like a good atmosphere at a new stadium. So it will lift us, but we've just got to be smart and clever and not do anything stupid.
The interesting thing I thought on Wednesday against Palace was that actually after all the kind of, excitement and energy, there was an element to which you sort of 5-10 minutes in, you just went, this is just a football game with 22 players. And if Man City do score early, that will just burst that balloon.
That'll deflate.
Pretty. And I think it'll actually be even more deflating because it's
I disagree, actually. I think the crowd will be... It's kind of a free hit. We're not expected to get through. We're not expected to win a Champions League. And I think if we go one down, the crowd will stay on the team's side.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
And there's an awful lot of pressure on City, because they've made this Champions League kind of a holy grail for them, despite the fact they've only been competing in it for the last sort of 7-8 years, and they're going for this quadruple, and they've got us three times over the next few weeks. We've got a very thin squad. We can pretty much predict the starting 11 and the way we're going to play for the next three games because we're limited. Now, Manchester City. Is there a propensity perhaps with Guardiola in these semi-finals and these knockout stages? I've kind of looked at his record. He does have a little bit of a record since 2011 to kind of slightly overthink things, particularly when he's under this amount of pressure. Is there an argument that we could get through on maybe Man City doing something a little bit off the wall like they did against Liverpool last year? We're in a very much a similar position to Liverpool.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not impossible. It's so unlikely to the point that there's not really much point in banging on about it.
I wonder if it's... Because I feel like Pochettino has tried to make us play a little bit more counter-attacking this season, partly due to a lack of control in midfield. And
well, think of our best performances this season. They've, for me, League Cup against Arsenal,
yeah,
counter-attacking, two amazing goals. Ali's chip for the second, oh my God, it was amazing. And then the away leg at Dortmund.
Yeah.
It's, even to describe that even as counter-attacking is sort of glorified a little bit because we maybe had four attacks over the course of the 90 minutes. But it was a brilliant team performance and ended up with a 4-0 win against probably not as good a team as City, but certainly a better team than us.
But also going back to last season, the Real Madrid and Dortmund games last season, when in the group stages, we let them have an awful lot of the ball. Because particularly the Dortmund game, I remember first watching half, thinking we were getting absolutely torn apart. And then it turned out it was actually it was his plan all along.
Yeah.
So we could certainly, well, probably will end up doing this against Manchester City, not seeing very much of the ball. And we've got four players up top that if they are unsung, they can hurt them, but probably...
We should have drawn at home this season at Wembley.
Oh, shouldn't we? Eric Lamella's miss.
Yeah.
100%, yes.
Yeah. It's one of those. You can tell Pochettino gets... when he gets riled up, it's because we don't go for the killer blow. We're not clinical.
Listen to us getting all optimistic.
Is
this the first big home knockout European game? I know we had Real Madrid and Milan, to be fair, but Madrid, we were out of it. Milan, do you remember when we played Sevilla and everybody was bang up for it? Everyone got to the ground early and the pubs were full and we were 2-0 down after about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I just hope it doesn't go that way. I also think it's a shame we're playing City in the first European night. It'd be great to have had a proper
It's not proper
European
if it's another English team, is it?
Barca, Juve, even Ajax.
It would have been great to have had Juve in this draw just because
next season.
Next semi-final. We're going to get them in the semi-final. Yeah. I will be there with Phil Beale. We'll get you.
He was looking forward to the night out. He's like me, he doesn't get many invites. So,
well, all right, so let's get a prediction then for tomorrow night. Come on, Kieran.
I don't know. We'll win it 1-0. How about that?
Yes.
I don't believe that, but wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm liking that.
I think we'll win 2-1.
2-1, excellent.
2-1's a disaster. They've got an away goal.
Yeah, okay. That's what I think they're going to win the tie.
Simon, have we brought you round to the optimistic way of thinking.
You've made me so optimistic that I'm going to go for a 1-1.
Oh, that's good. Because when we started, we were 4-0 down by half time. So that's not bad. I'm going to be realistic about this and go for a 2-1 win to Spurs.
Good that you're realistic.
Yeah. City will get a late away goal. That's how it'll be. But anyway, we cannot wrap this show up without talking about the other massive game this week, which is, of course, Huddersfield on Saturday. Huddersfield, which weirdly sold out quicker than the Man City game.
Cheaper, probably.
Yeah, cheaper. I think people just thought there's no chance of getting a Man City ticket, so they just didn't bother going online.
Well, Huddersfield is... Okay, we should beat them. Hopefully, we will beat them. They've got nothing to play for. They're not very good. Mm. We're at home. We'll probably have something similar to what we had against Palace and what we had prior to that against Newcastle, where they'll come to our place and not try to win, and we find it very difficult. We're not alone in this. Every team finds it very difficult to break down an opposition that's put 11 men behind the ball. Should be easier against Huddersfield than it was against either Palace or Newcastle. And we got past both of them. Took us a long time, but we eventually did. But what I think is really interesting is because we're playing really early on a Saturday and Chelsea then have Liverpool that weekend and the Gooners have Watford away, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we can get the 3 points there, we get that little bit of buffer, and then there's two relatively difficult games for two of the three people who are chasing us at the moment. Mm. That whole race for seventh that's going on at the moment is really working in our favour, because there's four teams on more or less the same points. Yeah. Everton
Watford, Leicester.
Wolves and Leicester.
Yeah. All seem to be, and all playing.
And Arsenal are playing all of them away.
A few of them. Chelsea have got them as well.
Yeah, so those four teams in other seasons at this point would be on the beach. Watford certainly would be.
Yeah.
They famously used to jump onto the beach as soon as they got 40 points. But
I couldn't work out whether them winning the semi was good or
actually
bad.
Makes no difference, because you don't get a European place for losing the FA Cup final anymore. So seventh is the place now. They all want seventh because they've all got a sniff of Europe. And Europe is really important. Maybe not so much to Everton, but to the other three. It's really important that they get into Europe. So that should really work in our favour.
We've also got a very good run of home games as well.
Yes, exactly.
And Bournemouth away, which... You know, Bournemouth are that.
We've not lost to White Lane for what, 3 years?
It's been a long. We've been unbeaten.
Very good.
And that's going to continue against
City
as well.
So mental optimism. We
haven't lost to White Lane for 3 years. And you know, as we all know, Bournemouth are a team that managed to lose every week and still managed to stay.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the strangest.
So if we lose our league game to City and win the rest of our league games, we should keep top four.
Yeah.
We should.
And it also means we beat West Ham along the way. So I'm confident we're gonna keep the top four. So let's have a prediction for the Huddersfield game. Simon, you going for another 1-1?
You're going 2-1 Huddersfield.
2-1 Huddersfield.
No, I'm going to be hopeful that actually we get the early goal that opens it up, and then we'll take a comfortable 3-0 victory.
All right, comfortable 3-0.
I was going to say 3-0 as well.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
genuinely.
A hat trick.
We are going to lose 1-0.
Yeah,
hat trick. That's it. I have worked with a Huddersfield fan who has reliably told me that we will absolutely crush Huddersfield.
They're
bereft of all confidence and ability.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna make it a full house. And that is 4-3-0 wins.
Amazing.
Against us. So really,
bother playing the game now. Really?
There's no point. And let's get a little prediction. We're going to finish top four, Kieran?
Cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic. Who's going to join us? We're assuming Liverpool and Man United.
Let's take City and Liverpool as being the top two.
Yeah.
I don't care if we come third or fourth, by the way. As long as we're in the top four, I don't give a flying fuck.
What's the situation though with the Champions League and Europa League?
If you finish fourth and the two teams below you win their tournaments, Europa League and Champions League, then fourth wouldn't go in.
Yeah,
but they'd both United and Chelsea or Arsenal would have to win. Yeah, but
the Champions League and the Europa League. Yeah,
they'll lose to Barcelona.
Let's not worry about any of that nonsense. No. So who would obviously I'd prefer for Manchester United to be in the top four, because that would mean Arsenal and Chelsea weren't.
Yeah.
I don't like any of those three teams, but that's the evil of three letters, isn't it? Manchester United.
They are. It's awful when you are saying a sentence that involves Man United being the lesser of three evils.
Yes.
But I guess that also means that City and the
best of all, though, is because when it was last weekend when we lost and the Gooners won, then as far as they were concerned, the season was over, wasn't it? They were ahead of us and it was all done and dusted. So.
Yeah, they were on the beach.
They're a horrible bunch, aren't they?
They really are. Oh, they are.
Smug, arrogant bastards.
Yeah.
Sorry, shouldn't. We can edit that bit out, can't we?
No, we'll probably, that could be the title of the show, to be fair. Smug, arrogant bastards.
No, I think Ask for Dave should be the title of the show.
All right, well, we're gonna wrap up this episode of the Spurs Show. Any other business anyone likes to bring to the table? Simon?
Got nothing to sell, no?
Watch This Country on iPlayer.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, that's worth doing. It's very, very good show.
I would say watch This much. Country on iPlayer.
thanks, guys.
And John?
No, nothing to add. No.
Kieran? Anything else you want to?
Come on, you Spurs!
Come on, you Spurs! All right, well that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening. Like I say, just want to clarify: as yet, the Phil Bill special hasn't been cancelled. but no offence, Phil, if you're listening, we all hope that it is. Everybody, thanks for listening to the Spurs Show. Enjoy the Champions League tomorrow. We'll be back next week with some people. Who knows? I've no idea who they are, but I'm sure they'll be very nice and as much fun and as much knowledge and optimism as we have brought to proceedings this week. Suffice me to say, thank you, Kieran.
Cheers.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
And come on, you Spurs. See you next week.
On this day, January the 22nd, 2008, having drawn the first leg 1-0
on this day, January the 20th, 1951.
On this day, January the 14th, 1978, a John Pratt.
On this day, January the 17th, 1968, Martin Chivers makes his debut for Spurs.
If you're interested in the history, landmarks, and great achievements of the football club we hold dear, you'll love On This Day.
And White Hart Lane erupt. Jimmy Greaves equalises on the stroke of half-time.
Aaron Lennon scores a fourth. Tottenham embark on a 19-game unbeaten run. On this day, a daily mini-series dedicated exclusively to memorialise great Spurs days gone by. Exclusively available at patreon.com/spursshow.
Jimmy Greaves equalises on the stroke of half-time.
John Pratt brace at a...
January the 17th, 1968. Patreon.com/Spurs.
Aaron Lennon scores a fourth. Tottenham embark on a 19-game unbeaten run.
1951, Martin Chivers makes his debut for Spurs. Top of the league and White Hart Lane erupt.
1978, 2008.
Patreon.com/Spurs.
The Spurs Show is backed for the season by Ladbrokes.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at spursshow.net.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.